The views of this program are not necessarily the views of KJLL Radio, its management, or its sponsors. The host is solely responsible for its content. Enjoy.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for your further listening pleasure.
Direct from the golf course and onto your radio, this is...
Hello, everybody.
The Fred and Jeff Show.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff, and we are broadcasting live from the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124. We always invite our listeners to come down and enjoy the show being broadcasted live.
And take advantage of the specials.
And we'll talk about those later.
Right.
Tinderbox is one of our great sponsors. But
and right now, they've got some crazy movie on Showtime.
With Max Headroom.
Max Headroom's on it. He's supposed to be a British guy, I don't know. The Washu Washu Warrior. Crazy. So, Fred, it's been a good week.
It's been an awesome week.
It's been a good week. It's gotten hot.
I love it.
I know you love it, but
man,
it's hot out there, man.
It's a little warm. It's a little toasty.
It's a little bit too warm for a Chamber of Commerce day.
It depends on what Chamber of Commerce.
The Chamber of Commerce on the equator might think it's a great day.
This is a great day. This is a great day for us.
So, folks,
a nice, happy, dry heat.
Yes.
Although we were looking forward to the monsoons.
That's right.
But we are here at the Tinderbox.
We're here at the Tinderbox. Thanks for tuning in to the Fred and Jeff Show. Remember, if you've missed any of our past shows, you can go to fredandjeff.com. Check out all of our past shows. And we got a little house cleaning to do. We want to say thanks to our sponsors. And they are many and include... folks, that if you need a little help with any of the stuff that they do, we use them, and we hope that you will,
yeah,
too.
And, you know, that's something that we don't focus on a whole lot is you know, we just don't go out and get sponsors just to pay the bills. These are folks that we actually use and enjoy, and they're actually fun to hang out with. But they provide tons of quality service, and they are our friends at Barker Morrissey.
Right, Barker Morrissey Contracting, Casa de la Luz Hospice, H&S Estate Garden, your friends at Ronstadt Insurance, the folks next door to the Tinderbox at the Monkey Burger, Roy and the folks over at the Monkey Burger, two great locations in town serving up some tasty, tasty treats.
Yeah, not only the one here at Williams Center, but downtown, and we're going to be talking about the downtown.
That's right. That was very good, Fred.
A little segue.
Right?
There.
And then, but wait a second, I'm not done.
Oh, okay.
Because I believe the new Tucson Lifestyle magazine came out this last week, and there was a whole nice write-up on the gourmet hamburgers in Tucson, and right on the front of it was a full-page monkey burger. And my wife, Tiana, looked at it, and she's like, oh, my gosh, that is unbelievable. And it just so happened I'd had that monkey burger, and I said, oh, and it's tasty, too. So,
and Roy is so generous with us. We go over there. He gives us, water for the show.
But thanks, Roy.
Yeah, but you know what? I also discovered they have, like, jars full of Tootsie Roll products.
No
so,
way.
Yeah, so I got some Tootsie Rolls, too.
Well, that was very nice.
So, yeah, so while you're waiting for your monkey burger on the way out, you get to grab, like, a little mini, the 1, 2, 3 crunch, the Tootsie Pop.
Nice.
And some other Tootsie
Rolls. Oh, I see. I see how you were trying to describe a Tootsie Pop by utilizing the commercial that used to...
In the 1960s,
70s. Yeah,
70s.
The 60s.
Little Al.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll or Tootsie Pop?
Let's find out.
1, 2, crunch. Yeah, I got it, Fred. Yeah,
thank you very much.
All right, now, there's something other fun I want to talk to you before we take our first break, and that is I'm involved in Rotary.
Okay.
And the Rotary Club of Tucson, it's the big Rotary Club that meets on Wednesdays at lunchtime at the Doubletree across from Reed Park. Matter of fact, I think it's the Reed Park Doubletree. We have a car show that we've been doing for the last 4 years, and we raise, speak of the devil, there he is. Roy just came walking in. And we raise, you know, anywhere from $90,000 to $100,000 for literacy programs. And how do we do that? We do that by selling tickets for folks to come to the car show. And it's at St. Gregory's. It's in October. But this evening at El Parador down on Broadway, the Rotarians are having their draft, and I am an assistant captain on the emissions. The name of our team is the Emission Controllers, And Daryl Stewart, my captain, is over there making picks right now for our sales team. So we want everybody to wish Daryl good luck on those picks, because the winner gets, I don't know, like a free cheese sandwich or something. So
that's perfect.
Looking forward to that.
Hey, I really got to talk about this. On Saturday.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. On Saturday, it was fun. The Fred and Jeff Show sponsored.
Oh, Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog.
That's right.
Valley of the Moon Saturday.
Yes.
They and it was a fundraiser for Valley of the Moon, and this is a historic, has a historic designation from the state. They're looking for a national designation. They almost have it.
Good.
And they're always looking for money to, make sure that the facilities there are kept up to date, code and all that kind of stuff to repair the stuff that was created by its creator, George Farr, back in the 1930s, I think.
Okay.
And it was built with concrete and stones and love.
Right. Now, along that end, before you tell the rest of the story of how great the night was, you told me earlier today that you hooked up the folks of the Valley of the Moon with Ben over at H&S Gardening.
Yeah, see, this is why we love our sponsors, because, like Ben Hawkins over at H&S Gardening, we took Ben over to Valley of the Moon and said, look, here's some of these exhibits, and they are so well loved, but they actually had to close down a couple of the pieces because some of the cement was coming undone and it was becoming a hazard. You can't bring kids in there,
right,
and possibly have the cement collapse. And so Ben came in and took a look at the piece that they were wanting to work on. Ben brought in another guy, and a cement guy, and they came in and for peanuts, mm-hmm, they rehabbed the what they consider the heart of Valley of the Moon, which is this little fairy's garden. And what they used to do, and they're doing it now, is a fairy comes in and tells stories about the Valley of the Moon, and just
tells
fantasy stories. And they were able to reopen it up, 100% safe. It looks gorgeous, and I got to enjoy that Saturday night. But the point of the story is that the fundraiser Saturday night raised almost $500 for Valley of the Moon. There were a ton of people. There's this huge lawn area. The people, bring your blanket, bring a lawn chair. And the Vampire Bunny Slayers, which they're an acting group, came out, and they acted out Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. They had a screen with, video montages and pictures and collages, and they acted out the whole movie, and it was just fun and exciting, and people had just a great time.
That's
then
awesome.
Afterwards, people can go around Valley of the Moon and see all the different pieces that were created over time.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So it's just great, and I think this Saturday they're going to have a free movie night at Valley of the Moon, and we're encouraging our listeners to go out and enjoy the fantasy and the kindness and the love that is Valley of the Moon. They're going to be showing Hook.
Hook with Robin Williams
Hook with Dustin Hoffman and Robin Williams.
Cool, very cool.
Yeah, and that's a free movie night. You just show up, bring your blankets, bring your lawn chairs.
What time does it start?
They're doing it a little bit later just because it's getting warmer. I think it starts at 8 o'clock.
All right.
But we'll have that up on the website, which is fredandjeff.com.
All right, very kid-friendly movie.
Absolutely kid-friendly. It's a kid-friendly place. It's a family-friendly place. It's just a good time to go out and enjoy these wonderful summer evenings in Tucson.
Very cool.
At Valley of the Moon.
Very cool. All right, so, folks, we got to take a quick break, pay the bills, and we'll be back to start off with our first guest. So stick around to the Fred and Jeff Show. Or we're back. There we go.
At Barker Morrissey Contracting, our goal is to develop lasting relationships with each one of our clients. We measure our success on achieving that in the end. We offer the best possible combination of experience, integrity, and commitment available in Arizona. The foundation of our organization is a commitment to meet our clients' needs from pre-construction services through project build and move-in. We have experienced, cohesive project managers who thoroughly analyze each project prior to construction. We do this to provide value engineering at the front end of the project while reducing time-consuming change orders during construction. We are confident that our collaboration with you will result in a successful project that'll exceed your expectations. Barker Morrissey Contracting. Straightforward, honest, and reliable. Call us at 323-3831 to set up an appointment. That's 323-3831.
This is Lamont Hunley with Arizona Health with your Fred and Jeff Show fitness tips. A heart rate monitor tracks your fitness training level to help you achieve your maximum results. If you're going too easy or pushing too hard, The heart rate monitor will prompt you to either slow down or speed up. This guidance makes it very easy to stay in your target zone, and it helps you to get the most out of your workout. The monitor, it includes a chest strap that is worn very comfortably around the chest area, and a watch that displays this information. It's like having a coach on your wrist. For more information, please contact Arizona Health at arizonahealth.com. This has been Lamont Huntley with your Fred and Jeff Fitness Tips.
Hi, I'm John Fina from Performance Footwear, and a lot of people think that after I finished playing pro football, my health insurance would not be an issue. Not true. So when I needed a great health plan for me and my family, I called the folks at Ronstadt Insurance. They hooked us up with the perfect policy from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, and we couldn't be happier. So if you're shopping for health insurance, give my friends at Ronstadt Insurance a call at 721-4848. They'll be happy to help you. Oh, and when my mom and dad turned 65, my friend Jim at Ronstadt Insurance helped them find the right Medicare plan. Call the pioneers in good service at Ronstadt Insurance, and they'll help you buy the right policy the first time.
Ronstadt Insurance is a full-service insurance agency. Give us a call at 721-4848 or look us up online at ronstadtinsurance.com. Ronstadt Insurance is an agent authorized to sell health insurance plans from Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association.
What's a monkey burger?
A simple, well-made burger cooked to your choice.
Why monkey burger?
We called it that because come see our art on the walls. It tells a story. Monkey burger, where it's impossible to be a food snob, even if they do serve wine, beer, as well as Tucson's best burger. 514-9797.
Just drive right past Olive Garden on Broadway and Craycroft and park in front of Monkey Burger.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff. And we're sitting over at the Cinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124, enjoying some fine cigars in the company of the Peanut Gallery here at the Cinderbox. We invite you all to come down. Yeah, there they are.
Wow, that's a lot of peanuts.
It is a lot of peanuts.
So, Fred.
Yes, Jeff.
Who's our first guest today?
This is great. You know, we our family grew up in the downtown. And it's been a passion of ours. You know, the heart of Tucson is our heart. And with us today is a guy who has been investing in the downtown for years, has been building in the downtown for years, and now he's leading an organization that is going to continue. I mean, has been working very hard to make sure that the downtown is successful in the long term. Michael Keith from the Tucson Downtown Partnership.
Thanks. Great to be here.
You got to talk. So, Michael, let's talk about the partnership for a little while, because
sure.
It started off originally as a downtown business improvement district back in the early 2000, in early 2000.
Right. Actually, 1999.
99, right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, there's 1,500 of them across the country. It's very common for downtowns that are looking to renovate and to rebuild themselves to form business improvement districts. These are businesses that decide to tax themselves in exchange for benefits for redevelopment area. So in our particular case, we were formed in 1999 to do five things: to maintain downtown, to provide security, to do promotion, marketing, and economic development. Our particular organization has 39 members at a $1.8 million budget.
Now, 39 members...
39 employees,
okay.
Actually, and $1.6 million budget, to be exact. And that's what we're charged with doing. So basically, we're to act as a catalyst for the redevelopment of downtown.
Now, you know, the downtown is had a couple of different names as it was growing up.
Right.
It was always known just as the BID, which is, you know, an acronym for Business Improvement District. And then sort of morphed into the Tucson Downtown Partnership.
Right.
So give us sort of a sense of, you know, where it's been, how it's grown, where it's heading.
When it first started, it was really focused on clean and safe, maintenance and security for downtown.
And now when
and
was
it was
that?
Called, that
I'm
was
sorry.
1999.
Okay.
It was called the Downtown Alliance at the time.
Okay.
And as it matured, it began to do festivals and events. And then in 2007, it reformed as a Downtown Tucson partnership, and it added economic development to the list of things that it does. As we've moved forward, particularly in the last couple of years, we've begun to focus a lot on economic development, particularly small business consulting, recruitment of new businesses downtown, and retention of existing businesses downtown, while still maintaining the other things that we do.
Would it be fair to say you guys are like a downtown association?
Yeah.
You've got all the downtown businesses, all
correct.
Of the stakeholders downtown
right.
are kind of hoping, you know, they're using you guys as that marketing and that PR arm, and they're putting their eggs in your basket saying, help us make downtown the place where people want to come.
Yeah, we're a public-private partnership, so it's actually a 40-member board that includes the city manager and the county manager. But mostly, we represent the business all the businesses downtown and all the property owners downtown.
Okay.
But the 40-member board's a pretty impressive board. Raytheon's on there. Cox, TEP, the U of A.
Now, why would Raytheon have a stake in downtown Tucson?
Because if downtown isn't a vibrant place, if there isn't a place that young engineers and the creative class wants to come to, they have a hard time recruiting. They have a hard time bringing all the young brainiacs into Tucson because there's no place for them to go.
They'd rather go somewhere where there's a hip
hang out. Yeah, they're going to go to Austin or Portland or Seattle or one of the high-tech places that they can hang out with other people that are like them.
So part of your mission is to compete with the Portlands and the Austins and all those guys to either recreate or make better what they've got there.
Yeah, and the dialogue lately has been how to reposition Tucson to become that kind of a place that the young 20 to 40-year-olds want to come and want to stay.
That's a tall order to fill.
It's a very tall order to fill because everyone's got a different idea on how that's going to work.
Well, give us some of those ideas. Well, I mean,
well, there's two sort of schools of thought on this. One is that you're going to do the big public works project that's going to bring everybody in.
Well, and like what? What would that
you're
be?
You're going to bring a ball field downtown,
okay.
or you're going to create a new arena, or you're going to put up a 20-story convention hotel. And if you do that, then people will come.
Because you'll see, next thing you know, you'll see, you know, great acts and sporting events, and then the restaurants and everything will come about from that.
Yeah, and downtown Phoenix would be a good example of that, what I would kind of call a manufactured urbanism. It's a 9-to-5 kind of a place, though. You come down, you watch the ball game, you go home.
Right.
You come down, you work, you go home.
Right.
There's no additional social or nightlife there. It's just more of an event center.
Okay, and I think that's a fair assessment, because
yeah.
you're right. When you go to a Diamondbacks game, you may go to Jackson's on 3rd, or
right.
you may go to Coopertown or something like that
yeah.
and hang out for a little bit.
For 28 minutes.
Yeah, but you're done.
Yeah.
Now, what do you say, 28 minutes?
I'm just making it up.
Okay.
That's about the time for 3 beers.
Okay.
Yeah, and then you go to the game.
Wow, you drink beers fast.
I do.
Okay, so that's one item. What are some of the other stakeholders?
The other end of the spectrum is the Portland-Austin model of the urban village. And this concept is more oriented toward live workspaces, mixed use housing and retail, walkable urban environments, outdoor festivals, events, cultural, art walks, all of this.
A place
where the community wants to come down, visitors want to come visit and hang out.
And stay. Okay, so now, if I remember correctly, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, there was a bunch of stuff on the boards of all retail on the bottom and all residential on the top of some of these projects that were going on.
Right.
That has a lot to do. I guess that could go both ways, though. That could be the urban, you know, that cultural center.
Urban village.
And, I mean, gosh,
correct.
You know, could a lot of people, I hear this all the time, gosh darn it, why didn't we build TEP downtown?
Right.
Why? You know, that's forget it. It's not.
It's
we're,
over.
We're beyond that.
Yeah.
But now the U of A is talking about putting 1,200 kids downtown to go to school because they've got some space. And what would downtown? What do you guys foresee happening downtown to get those kids to want to stay there? Not
right.
you know, not to maybe go back to the east side or go north or southwest to live. What could you do down there?
Yeah. Now you have a whole different set of parameters to work with. 1,100 students, a light rail system that's going from Campbell and Speedway all the way to the west side, on the west side of the freeway, 3.9-mile route that's going to bring students and neighborhood people into downtown and back again. And now you start conceiving of downtown in a whole different way.
Now, hold on, before we go on, we've got a couple more minutes before we have to take
sure.
a hard break at the bottom of the hour. There is so many people out there that are for, or so many people out there. The light rail is polarized, Tucson,
right.
and we are not a political show.
And I'm not going to advocate.
Debate that, good. But the long and the short of it is, to have some sort of transportation that can get people downtown easily, because one of the things we do know, and it's not true, because, you know, we've had the Centurion Party downtown. We've been down to Second Saturday. And so we know that parking is really not an issue, but there's this huge perception that parking downtown is a pain in the butt. It's not.
15,000 parking spaces.
Yeah, there's tons of parking downtown.
15,000.
Tons. I mean, there's probably more parking spaces downtown than there might be people on, you know, on any given night.
You're right.
So, which is great, because we've built the infrastructure.
Right.
Now we want to put the people down there. But anyway, my point was going to be was this light rail system going from Camelin Speedway all the way through downtown, that potentially has the opportunity to make downtown huge.
Now that puts a whole spin on the urban village, because what's happened along transit lines all the way across the country is that the density has begun to increase within a half mile. So live-work and mixed-use units begin to spring up.
Now, what does that mean, mixed-use?
Mixed-use means what you described earlier, retail on the bottom, housing or office, or even sometimes combinations up above.
Okay.
So you're looking at increasing the density along that route, and now you have a series of experiences along a 3.9-mile corridor. So you could have a bar restaurant over here, a club here, a cultural event here, a museum, and you've got a 3.9-mile series of adventures all the way through, and that's where I think we're going to begin to focus Tucson and market Tucson.
Now, we could equate that to kind of like the gas lamp district in San Diego.
That would be perfect.
Where if I want to go to Petco to see the Padres play, but I'm way over on the other side of here, I can hop on that little train and zoom. It takes me right there.
Yeah.
And then there's bars and restaurants and places to stay and hotels, and it's beautiful, but I don't have to drive.
Right. And you're going to be able to build an entire day of experiences along that route. It's going to be magic when it's in. It really is.
Say that again, a higher day?
An entire series of adventures along that 3.9 route. So you take a Saturday and go to a U of A basketball game, go to 4th Avenue, do some shopping, come downtown and have dinner, go to the west side and shop at some of the new
stores. And you don't
need
to worry about where your car
crop
is?
Up. No, you can park all the way at the U of A. You can park all the way at the U of A Medical Center. You can park all the way on the west side over almost at St. Mary's and still catch the thing and just ride it up and down and not have to worry about a thing. At night, clubbing, I mean, it's going to be brilliant.
Wow, that'll be great. Okay, so, Fred, what do you got to say? We got a minute before we got to take the heart.
Well, we actually have 30 seconds before
okay.
before going. What?
Folks, sometimes my brother Fred loses his mind.
No, Chris was having a little chat with me over here.
Oh, okay, that's what was going on over there? You guys are talking about me behind my back again? Perfect. Folks, we are at the Tinderbox here at the Williams Center.
We are at the Tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124 with Michael Keith from the Downtown Tucson. I always say,
Tucson Partnership.
Downtown Tucson Partnership. I always say Tucson Downtown Tucson Partnership.
DDP.
Yeah, the DDP.
And we are going to be here. We've got another half of the show to go, so enjoy the news.
Enjoy the news.
Yeah, well, enjoy the news. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, so stick around. Should be happy with your money and your name and
CNN Radio, I'm Stan Case. Afghanistan's interior minister says 6 Taliban fighters who attacked a luxury hotel in Kabul have been killed. Officials say some were suicide bombers. CNN's Chris Lawrence reports coalition forces helped fight off the attackers.
2 of the coalition helicopters did engage with some of the enemy forces, with some of those fighters who had stormed the hotel directly on the roof, firing on them on the roof and killing them there on the roof.
At last report, the hotel was engulfed in flames. A demonstration in Cairo to honor those killed in the Egyptian Revolution turned violent Tuesday. Police used tear gas and rubber bullets to break it up. The first tropical storm of the Atlantic hurricane season has developed in the southern Gulf of Mexico. Arlene has sustained winds of 40 miles per hour. The final shuttle mission has been scheduled. They'll lift off July 8th for the International Space Station. This is CNN Radio.
And now, Walmart's countdown to July 4th. Low-priced ways to get ready for outdoor fun. This week's project, fire up the grill.
Summer nights are made for grilling. And with Walmart's low prices on Kingsford charcoal and Kingsford Matchlight charcoal, you can afford to cook out every night from now to July 4th and beyond. Your family will love having more backyard feasts. And your famous burgers and dogs will steal the thunder from those 4th of July fireworks. More flavor and more fun thanks to Walmart's low prices every day on everything. Save money. Live better. Walmart.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
David from St. Paul writes, my son's wondering if he'll come to his class so he can get extra credit on his biology test.
Extra credit?
Well, if there are any questions on that test about who can make it easy to save money by combining your RV and car insurance,
which is an unlikely question for a biology test,
then the answer is Geico.
True.
For all other questions about RV insurance, I like to guess answer G, E-I-C-O.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
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 Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com. Guess it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC like new again.
Thank you for calling Huge Conglomerate Insurance. Your call is somewhat important to us. Please hold, and we'll be with you as soon as we can.
When you get sick or injured, the first call you make is to your neighborhood doctor. Shouldn't the next call you make be to your local insurance representative? Skip the hours waiting on hold to ask a simple question about what your insurance policy will cover.
Your current wait time is 45 minutes.
Instead, call Ronstadt Insurance at 721-4848 and get the attention that you deserve. Trust local, trust Ronstadt Insurance. Pioneers in good service.
Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest, is at a new location, the southwest corner of Speedway and Craycroft. Open 7 days a week, Charlie's is a full-service comic shop. New comics, back issues, all your collecting supplies, action figures, t-shirts, and more. No subscription too small. Shipping available. Call 320-0279. That's 320-0279. Or click on charliescomics.com. Charlie's Comic Books, Tucson's Mightiest.
May I light that cigar for you, sir?
Thank you.
And we're back. Yes, we are. Welcome to the Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother, Jeff. We're sitting over the tinderbox at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard. You can hear the background noise, all of the folks that are here joining us on the big radio show today. And sitting in the big chair is Big Mike from the tinderbox.
There's a lot of bigs here, aren't there, Mike?
Yes, there are.
And I love it. Every month we come here, he gets his hair cut for the radio show.
Is that true?
Yes. No, but it'll play well.
Oh. All right. So what do you got for us this month, Big Mike?
Yeah, this week.
This week, yes, excuse
this
me.
This week.
End of the month.
End of the month. Cigar of the week is The Edge by Rocky Patel.
It's delicious.
It's a beautiful cigar. I've got them in a Corojo wrapper and a Maduro wrapper, and the customers can mix and match whatever you want. It's buy three, get one free. And the cigar, the only difference is being the wrapper, the Corojo wrapper or the Maduro. The binder on the cigar is Nicaraguan, and the filler, it's when it gets interesting. Secret. Even Rocky Patel won't tell anyone what it is. Yeah, he won't tell anyone.
Love it.
So it's a great medium to full-bodied smoke. It's got notes of espresso, which is kind of good. A little bit of nutty. I'm more on the Corojo than the Maduro, and it's got a really long finish on it, so the flavor lasts a long time in your palate. It's a great smoke.
It is a great smoke. And I just smoking the Corojo, the Maduro is my favorite. Nice dark oily wrapper, just can't go wrong.
Right. No, either one. And the good thing is the customers can mix and match if you want to get, you know, 2 and 2, 3 and 1, all of one, or whatever you want.
Or 7 and 1.
Seven and 1.
The more you buy, the better your discount, right?
12 and 4.
You know, Jeff, I think, took some happy drugs before he got it. He's just laughing.
Here's the deal, folks. Earlier, we had some crazy movie on the TV, because they have a beautiful flat panel TV here at the Titterbox.
Yeah,
and all these very nice leather chairs, and everybody's just kind of sitting around smoking a cigar. So earlier, they had some movie on, and I don't know what it was, but it was terrible. And there are a couple guys back here that were just enamored with it. But it was terrible, and they said it was terrible. And so the movie ended, and next thing you know, another terrible movie is on, so I started giving a hard time. So what do they do to prove their manliness? They switched it to a show where there's a guy that just shot a deer with a bow. All right, guys, I understand how manly you are now. Now let's see if there's a baseball game on. All right, folks.
Well, you know, and this is one of the great things about the Tinderbox is there is a great...
it's the Ted Nugent outdoor show.
What was that, Fred?
Yeah. Beyond just the TV, having a really nice TV here so people can kick back and relax, there's a great lounge area. Huge humidor, lots of cigars to come and choose from.
Yeah, it's
a great place just to hang out.
Yeah, nice comfy leather chairs, which are all full, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, the next person that walks in the door is going to get one of these cigars, these Rocky Patel Edge cigars, if they can come in here and get these guys to put a baseball game on. Because what are they looking at now?
They're looking at the guide.
Okay.
They're searching.
There you go, Phillies Red Sox. All right, folks. So come on down to the Tinderbox. And get a good deal on the cigars.
They can find us at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 124, or please give us a call at 747-4807.
And we actually happen to be at 5350 East Broadway Boulevard. Come down and see us right now and enjoy the show and sit here and watch Jeff complain about what's on TV.
Hey, come on. All right, so on the other side of the break, we're going to finish our interview with Michael.
Mike.
So, folks, stick around. We'll be right back.
Casa de la Luz is Spanish for House of Light. That's what one needs when facing a terminal illness. A House of Light to provide comfort, support, and experienced hospice care during the end-of-life journey. The mission of Casa de la Luz is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Founded in 1998 by Lynette Jaramillo and Agnes Poor, Casa de la Luz Hospice has become a leading provider of superior hospice care throughout southern Arizona. Whether it is in the hospital, at home, an assisted center, or a nursing home, the caring staff at Casa de la Luz will reach far beyond the usual and customary hospice service. Every service provided is a reflection of our commitment to our community. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
Do you suffer from irrigation leaks, a broken sprinkler, leaky valves, or you just can't find the problem? At H&S Garden, we provide high-quality, reliable service at reasonable prices. Our repair technician has over 25 years of experience. And if you hate pulling weeds, raking mesquite beans, or trimming those thorny bushes, just leave the dirty work to us. We're licensed contractors with 30 years of experience in landscape management. Our crews are professional and take pride in their work. We'll meet you on site to establish a program that works for you. Call today at 293-6488 or visit us at hsgarden.com. H&S Garden, a family-owned and operated Tucson small business.
Visit the Fred and Jeff Show online at fredandjeff.com.
And welcome back. This is Fred and Jeff Show. This is Fred Ronstadt. I'm here with my brother Jeff, and with us is a very special guest, Michael Keith from the Downtown Tucson Partnership. And we've been talking downtown, and something near and dear to our family's heart is the heart of the city. I mean, it is the heart of this community is downtown Tucson. And, you know, we were talking before the break about, you know, the vision that a lot of people have once the light rail goes in, the adventures that people can create for themselves on any given day. But, you know, there's been a lot. It's really frustrating to hear people say there's nothing going on downtown, mm-hmm. There's nothing to do. And I'm down there, you know, fairly regularly, and there's tons of people, there's tons of activity. Let's just talk about some of the things that have happened maybe over the course of the last year. I mean, things have been going on before that, but, you know, really in the last year, we've seen a lot of just brand-new activity going on.
There's been so much private investment put into downtown. We did a survey in November and discovered that $120 million of private investment in the last 36 months. You take out the 65 or so million of TEP, you've still got $60 million of the little guys coming in, opening places up and down Congress and Broadway.
Well, as a small business owner, the little guys are the backbone of the country. I mean,
yeah,
the little guys are the guys that make it fly.
Yeah.
So you did a survey to whom?
We actually went door to door. We interviewed every business downtown.
You did?
That had opened doors within the last 30-some-odd months at the time. And
what was the feeling?
Well, it was interesting because not only did they tell us what they invested in their building, they told us why. And it was the why that was so interesting.
So give us some ideas.
They wanted, like us, some of them had grown up there, and they wanted, you know, they remembered it was like it was for us when we were kids.
Yep.
And they wanted to see it come back. Others had come from urban centers like Chicago and other places and wanted to try to create that kind of urban experience for others. Some just felt the vibe and knew it was time to get on the bus.
All right.
And came down, and they borrowed money from friends, relatives. You can't get finance for a lot of this kind of stuff. 16 restaurants opened up in the matter of about 28 months.
I got to tell you, yeah, we talk about that all the time. There are so many good places.
Right.
So you go downtown to watch a show.
Right.
You know, whether you're going to the Rialto or the Fox or the TCC, it doesn't matter where. You go downtown to watch a show, and you have your pick of the litter of places to eat.
Yeah, that,
I mean, it's crazy.
It's crazy. Maynard's is superb.
But you know what? No offense to the folks at Maynard's, because they get all the press.
Uh-huh.
But 47 Scott.
Oh, well, I was going to launch into the other one.
The Hub.
The Hub.
Enoteca. I mean, there are so many great little itty-bitty mom-and-pop places down there. I got to tell you, we have some friends that came in from back east, and they came to Tucson, and, you know, we had a little family thing going on. And we took them to dinner at 47 Scott. And they're like, wow, this place reminds us of Chicago. And then because 47 Scott is such an intimate place, right next door is the bar.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, this is great. I mean, we went up to the Sapphire Lounge.
Oh, that's incredible.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. The vibe up there was so fun and friendly and just so young, you know, from a older guy now. I hate saying that, but kind of true.
Yeah.
But now you're from Tucson, right?
Yeah, I grew up here as well. My father's shop was actually in South Tucson.
What was your dad's shop?
He had a compressor repair shop, so I spent weekends and summers working down there.
So you grew up with an entrepreneur, small business guy.
Yeah, very small.
Yeah, so you know what it's like.
Yeah, and I did the same thing you did. I was at the Fox on Saturdays and got my first kiss at the Fox.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Johnny Gibson's gym. And
got her hair cut.
Yeah,
and
worked out there. And remember those sweat boxes? You sit with your head sticking out.
Remember that old James Bond movie where they,
that's exactly
what Johnny Gibson's.
Yeah, you're right.
What? That's great.
Yeah, so
so you guys are getting some real traction down there.
Man, it's just, and you hear stories every day where people walk in and discuss their next project or they're going to open this business with us. So we're kind of getting all the previews. And you hit it with the Hub and 47 Scott and some of the others, but there's a chocolatier coming. This is a woman who makes gourmet chocolates every morning and sells them out during the day and donates all the money to charity.
Really?
She was reportedly in the room when Microsoft was born. And does this just for the love of it. And it's not even on the main street. You have to know where to find it. You have to go behind
kind
the Hub
and
find it. And it doesn't even have a sign on Congress.
And she's open?
She'll be open pretty soon. Ari Sloan, who owns Zoom Juice, is opening Sparkroot. And they've got the blue bottle coffee that's just the creme de la creme of gourmet coffees. And you have to get trained for a month just to dispense this coffee. They've got a mezzanine in there. This is going to be just an incredible
So
place.
That urban village is really,
really
kind of happening.
Yeah.
So there's so many people who are going, well, there's something must be going bad around downtown because Mr. On pulled up stakes.
No,
Mr. On does not define downtown.
No. Plus
these guys define downtown.
And he had so much going on that this was just one too many things for him. But that space is going to actually get reapportioned to some smaller users, which is good. But on the roof right now, if you've seen that, if you were at
Sapphire?
Centurions.
No, oh, yeah, the Centurions.
On the roof over where Ann was going to go is that new sky bar up there. It's not called a sky bar, but it's an open-air bar up there. It's going to be off the chart what they're doing up there. I mean, it's just wild.
That's great.
There's some private places that are being opened inside. You sort of have to know about them to find them, almost like the old speakeasies.
Sweet.
I've heard about it.
But you're the guy in the know.
Yeah, some of this, some of the stuff I hear and people say, well, you can't say anything about this yet, and I'm just like, oh, come on.
It's my business.
That's killing me, yeah.
So talk about some more of these success stories down there. I mean, some folks...
Well, Buffalo Exchange moved in, which was huge.
And there's a Tucson-grown operation.
There's a Tucson, and what's happening is so far to a person, these are all people that are small entrepreneurs in Tucson, coming down, so we are starting to create this totally unique, totally authentic, and totally Tucson-based downtown.
That's great.
You know, for so long, we've been trying to get away from being ourselves, like we have to be somebody else. We may not have to. We may actually succeed famously for just being who we are and doing it really well.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because Tucson is a great place.
It's a great place.
Very unique. Yeah. You know, you might have people that don't want it in their backyard, and then you've got people that want it all in their backyard. But we coexist wonderfully.
Right. So I think that might be the path for us, and it gets kind of amplified by the light rail coming in, which makes it actually work as an urban village even better. We're famous for all the festival and events downtown. We have some 50 of them a year, from El Tour to Day of the Dead to the Parade of Lights. I mean, we have everything, and then, of course, Second Saturdays.
Well, let's talk about Second Saturdays. Yeah, well, what was the genesis of Second Saturdays?
Yeah, it was
Let me back up, though, quick. For those of our listeners that don't know, every second Saturday of the month, downtown explodes. I mean, it just goes off.
Yeah.
You've got ice cream vendors on the side of the street. Who is the gourmet ice cream vendor?
It's like in a little panel truck.
Isabella's
ice cream.
Yeah, 1928.
Solar-powered car, you know. And I had a scoop of their coconut ice cream. It was fantastic.
Oh,
it was fantastic. You've got downtown is crazy on second Saturday nights.
10,000 people.
How did that start?
That started, there were four or five of us. It was led by Fletcher McCusker and Donovan Durbin.
And who's Fletcher McCusker and Donovan Durbin?
Fletcher McCusker is the CEO of Providence Corporation that moved downtown a little over a year ago from the east side.
Okay.
He's almost single-handedly begun to transform downtown. He's supporting a lot of the arts and culture and has really stepped in where the money has been needed and tried to keep things moving forward.
Probably for the same reasons that Raytheon wants hip, young things going on for their people.
Fletcher, I mean, this guy is a downtown saint.
He is.
He's coming, he put in Providence. I mean, that's his headquarters for Providence.
Right.
But he's making a lot of serious investment in downtown.
He is. He bought 44 Broadway, which was that four-story annex building that used to have a little bridge connecting it to the federal building on Broadway there. He bought that, and he's busy renovating that. In fact, the Sonoran Institute's already moved in on the second floor, and the Green Chambers
that's
on the
so
first
sweet.
Floor.
I'm so glad that Luther finally came downtown.
Yeah, but two more kind of locally developed organizations with long histories of community service.
Now, what's the Sonoran Institute?
The Sonoran Institute is the best way to describe it is a very, they're an environmental group.
Right.
They do a lot of mediation across the globe.
Right.
Luther is, just world-renowned for coming in and working through solutions to preserve the environment and keep businesses happy. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful organization.
Great.
And so we're seeing this combination of really good homegrown organizations that have long histories of putting money back into the community, and then the young entrepreneurs that are showing up with the ideas that that they've always wanted to execute. And they're executing them brilliantly. The insides of some of these places, like Hub and 47 Scott, and the roof, these roof bars,
Sapphire Lounge,
and the one over where Ann was going to go in. I mean, they're off the chart. They're as good as anything in San Francisco or any other hip center.
Well, I know the food is. I mean, the food and the atmosphere is fantastic.
But they're putting real money into these interiors at a level that we've never seen done in Tucson before. And
that's what it's going to take right now to get people down there.
Yeah.
You know, you want someone from the east side to come downtown, great food is really important,
right.
But the ambience, the atmosphere is equally, because you know, anyone can either get a fantastic Snorn Dog on the side of, you know, 22nd and Wilmot.
Right.
But to go downtown, you know, especially because there's so many people that don't understand that there's no issue with parking.
Right.
It's clean. There's a lot of fun things to do. It's
very
safe.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about downtown. Or
that's second, a good idea, because we've been talking about something else all day. Right?
No, the second Saturday downtown specifically,
yes.
Because you know, it started off as downtown Saturday night back in the day, and,
right.
And it sort of went it went dark for a while,
right.
And then it started back up second Saturday. I always say it wrong. Cause
yeah,
Second Saturdays, yeah. Well, I always want to say downtown Saturday, but second Saturdays. So the second Saturday of the month, you know, we have this huge party downtown, essentially.
Right.
So let's just talk about, I mean, there's, you know, live bands, there's a huge stage. They're projecting movies up on walls. I mean,
oh, yeah, we saw that, too. That was great.
Yeah. Yeah, from one end of Congress to the other, so all the way down at the Rialto end, all the way up to the Fox, it's one long street party. And there's, we've got, now we have a rhythm and blues stage that's set up.
Oh, yeah, we saw that stage.
Yeah,
what, that's
in back of Rialto.
Right.
Yeah, and that...
There were a ton of people there enjoying that.
Yeah, great music there.
Who's booking those bands?
We are.
Fred's got a band.
Yeah.
It's a rubber band.
Fred and the Iguanas.
Yeah.
That's great. You're
going to try to get your cousins down there.
So it's all local talent you got playing down there?
Yeah, and we have street buskers, musicians. We've got a stage set up on Scott.
What's a street busker?
Busker is a street musician.
Okay.
That's another name for it.
And cool.
Just kind of sitting on the corner with, you know.
Well, they're asked to be on that corner at that time.
Right,
so
right,
they booked
right.
That corner.
Yeah. Just like the little actors you have. There were a bunch of people painted silver that were doing fun things.
Well, Fred will remember the a cappella groups from the old downtown Saturday night. The ones that sang in the alleys without accompaniment, they're back. There's groups that do all kinds of acrobatics.
So now what's the overflow of this? I mean, so that Saturday night, you definitely got to go down. But what's the outcome of that? I mean, what do you guys hope to project to everybody else in Tucson because of that event?
Well, it's not just that event. We're trying to plan out between September and January 1st. Just to look at what weekends were available, there aren't any.
What do you mean?
There's an event every weekend from September to January 1st. We're thinking about bringing back First Night under a different name, the New Year's Eve celebration.
Right, 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 right.
With the fireworks and the whole thing. But there is something for every weekend planned downtown, some event or another, for those 4 months. It's that crazy.
And is there a clearinghouse? Is there a place people can go to see all the craziness that's going on down there?
Yeah, you can come to our website, the Downtown Tucson Partnership website. It's going to be up, our new website will be up in about 2 to 3 weeks. Everything you want to know about downtown is going to be on it. Festivals, events, parking, restaurants, and it's all interactive.
So maps,
and we'll have that link up on the at fredandjeff.com.
Okay, because once we get that up, you're going to be able to plan your entire evening or weekend downtown off that site. And then we're going to go to mobile apps right away.
Oh, beautiful.
App. So all the mystery about getting downtown, we're... Take it off the table. And now it's just whether you want to go out and spend a weekend night down there or not.
Well, that's great.
We have a few minutes left. I really want to talk about what's going to happen in the future, because obviously we've got the TEP building. That's the big structure that's going in now.
Right.
But there's also the parking and retail on the far east end of Congress.
Right.
I think that Jim Campbell's doing that project.
Right.
There's, you know, some retail on the bottom, some residential on top. There's going to be something going in the parking lot next to the Rialto. Mm-hmm. I mean, other stuff. And we talked earlier about this, you know, live, work, play kind of space, these spaces. There's not right now a whole lot of residential in the downtown, but that's going to change fairly quickly.
Yeah, so first it's going to change with the U of A housing that I think you guys alluded to earlier. So there's three buildings going up on the east end of Congress. One over the new parking garage that's being built on 4th and Congress. There's four stories there.
And that's all student?
That's student housing. I think that might be, well, Jim Campbell hasn't decided exactly what the mix is.
So it won't be exclusively student housing?
Right now, but unless he changes his mind.
Okay.
And there's going to be some retail and there's parking
there's
there.
A lot of retail. There's 10,000 square feet of retail, including two-story mezzanine spaces that are going to be killer restaurants, depending on who comes in and does
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
And then where the old Greyhound was next to the Rialto is a 10-story building going up there of all student housing with retail on the bottom and hopefully retail along the alley, Herbert Avenue there, that would activate that alley alongside the Rialto.
Right.
Wow.
And then across the street, across Broadway, right directly south of that, is another, and I think it's a 7, maybe 8-story building of student housing there, with the possibility of activating that alley as well.
What does that mean, activating that alley?
That means that you get retail or clubs or restaurants on an alley.
Get some activity
and
going.
And you get to wander down these alleys and discover these places like you do, like we all do when we travel and find those little places that we don't think the tourists are really going to.
Oh, that's great.
Sort of the out-of-the-way places.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. And then there's two more housing projects that are, that we've been talking with and doing some consulting with for market-rate apartments. Going further west down Congress, that if either one of those goes, that means this will be housing that you and I could go rent with balconies and maybe rooftop decks and pools and all that.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
There's a whole bunch of ideas on the table for boutique hotels right now. The Marist College is being talked about as a small boutique hotel, and a couple other buildings are being looked at. So one alternative to the large convention center hotel might be a series of really unique one-off, totally cool. If you've been to Scottsdale, the Valley Ho.
Right, the Valley Ho is awesome.
Yeah, things
don't they have, what's the restaurant they have in there? It's like it's a tiki restaurant.
Oh, the whole place is just off the chart.
It
cool.
is great.
But even if we got anything close to that, we'd start repositioning ourselves as this wonderful place of all these homegrown restaurants, clubs, bars, rooftop decks, and boutique hotels. That's what we kind of mean by the idea of urban village, rather than a place full of offices and you know, larger corporate headquarters.
Well,
and
now here's the last question I have for you today, because I think a lot of our listeners who know, kind of they've heard, they're U of A fans, somewhere I read or heard that the U of A is thinking about maybe putting a new basketball facility down there. You know, McHale isn't what a lot of folks want it to be, which I disagree. I love McHale.
Uh-huh.
But there might be a new athletic facility downtown. Is that... And I know maybe you can't tell us, but is that gaining some traction?
You know, I haven't been privy to all those inside conversations about that between the at the U of A, but it's an idea that could be very viable if they could find the money to do it and incorporate that into a larger concept for the convention center, hotel, all that, kind of wrap it into a larger plan. That could be one thing that would really work.
Say, but, meaning that the infrastructure is already there with the TCC.
Well, the TCC
just
needs
turn it
to be
into
worked
something
on
else.
Pretty seriously.
Yeah, the TCC needs a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the infrastructure in that area
It's suited for that kind of a use, and then you can begin to wrap other things like housing maybe, or even at least retail, into that matrix, because that's right on the streetcar line.
Wow. So how long? So from where downtown... I know, you're so excited. I want this now. So... We've seen downtown change over the last 3 years. It's,
right.
It was something that people didn't really talk about
right.
to something that everybody's talking about now.
Right.
What do you guys project downtown in the next 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years? I mean, you're looking that far down the road.
Right.
Give us an idea of maybe from 2 years now from now what we should expect, and 5 years from now what we should expect.
Well, the streetcar goes in starting in November, and you can ride it in fall of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do a really good job on the streetscape, that whole walkable environment, and new pavers, trees, plants, and really create a place that people want to come hang out, and hopefully we'll be successful in that. But looking down the road, I'm going to see a lot of housing coming in along the streetcar route in downtown. The west side could be a place where some of the bigger retailers go, but more housing as well over there. People are talking about the Santa Cruz being an open water resource again. That whole triangle on the west side of 4th Avenue, where all those abandoned warehouses are, that could be the next kind of cool hip spot, because you can still walk to the streetcar from there. 4th Avenue is probably going to change,
wow.
I would think, over time.
Sure.
But there'll be housing and more retail and more bars and restaurants.
Michael, thank you so much. We have no time left. So
yeah.
You're one of the guys that helps make Tucson a great place to live. We really appreciate you.
And good evening, Tucson.
Yeah, so thanks for hanging in, folks.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Afghan security forces traded fire with insurgents who staged a suicide.